And a warm welcome to Afternoons with Bill Arnold. Thank you for joining me today. In Philippians chapter 3, it says, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again. And it is a safeguard for you. And it is no trouble for me to say the same things to you again, because I love spending time with you. And I love that you listen and tune in on the afternoons and join me. Our time together is something I cherish. And we're going to have a great second hour coming up with Russell Jarvis, all the way from the Hartford area, Pastor Jay Abramson from Valley Community Church in Avon, Connecticut, is going to be joining me. And he's a pastor that I've been looking forward to meeting, because I love our friends in the Hartford area, and I want to get to know more of you peeps. So I'm looking forward to spending time with Jay as well. That is all ahead on our second hour coming up. Let's take a little break and get the show rolling. Be back in 60 seconds.
All I want to do is praise your name, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. I praise your name with lifted our voices and proclaim. You are my God, and all I want to do is praise your name. All I want to do is praise your name, from the rising of the sun.
Welcome back to the show. You know, as we are always expanding here at Faith Radio, and we are trying to find new friends to make and new places to go to. Recently, in the last couple of years, we went to Hartford, Connecticut, and we started broadcasting from Hartford. And I always feel like a close kinship to my peeps in Hartford, because I like Hartford, I like the area, I love Connecticut, and I'm always trying to find new ways to make new friends in that area. And I've been joined today on the show by Russell Jarvis, and Russell is he is part of the Urban Alliance. He is the vice president and chief operating officer, and he oversees all the organizations and the operations. And I am anxious to have Russell back on the show and anxious to find out what's been going on with the Alliance. Russell, nice to have you back on.
Hi, Bill. Thanks so much for having me again.
Yeah, and now, last time we spoke, I was doing mornings, and now I'm in the afternoons, which means I'm a lot more alert, which is a good thing. And probably I would love for you to tell our afternoon audience, which is probably a little different from the morning, what your alliance is and what you do.
Sure thing. Well, Urban Alliance is a nonprofit organization. We equip a network of Christian churches and organizations to serve our greater Hartford community in deeper ways, so that people who face challenges to meeting their needs will experience help and hope for a positive future. And so our role at Urban Alliance is to provide support to this network of currently 100 churches and Christian organizations in the greater Hartford area, and help them develop stronger programs in the community that are providing help and hope in spiritual and tangible ways to people who are facing challenges to meeting their needs.
All right, that's I love what your organization is doing, and I'm just dying to hear how you do what you do.
Sure thing.
Yeah, what is the connections? How do the connections come about, and how do you support these local churches and ministries?
Sure. Well, we have five initiatives to partner with churches and organizations around identified needs in the community. And so those five areas of focus, those five initiatives and five areas of needs focus on basic needs like food, clothing, and housing, and working towards greater life stability. That's one area. A second is around physical health and wellness. A third is mental and emotional and relational health, wellness. A fourth is around youth development, and then a fifth is early childhood development. So we have these five initiatives to help us partner with and bring together different churches and organizations throughout the greater Hartford area that are providing programs in the community to help people overcome challenges to meeting those needs. And so our role at Urban Alliance is just that, to facilitate, to convene that network of churches and organizations around those five initiative areas. And then we provide a variety of different support to help them strengthen their programs in the community. And so our support looks a lot like providing training on best practices for ministry programs. Last year, we provided training to just over 350 program ministry staff and volunteers throughout the greater Hartford area. So training is a big piece of that through quarterly gatherings where we bring together different ministry and program leaders across the network and are able to really form a learning community where they can not only enjoy the training, but also the relationships and the connections with one another. We're a big believer that God works through relationships, and so we need to have greater unity across the body of Christ to really be the hands and feet of Jesus in our community. So the training and the connections are a big part of what we do. But in addition to that, we offer toolkits and consultation to programs, helping them carry out what they do in a more effective way. And we provide grant funding, mobilize volunteers that we can match with ministry programs in the community. And we partner with World Vision to provide access to supplies. So a whole bunch of different types of support to churches and organizations that are carrying out regular programs in the community that are helping our neighbors.
Mm-hmm. So, Russell, do churches come to you, or do you go to them?
It's a both and. One of our core values is relationships, and so we've never been an organization that's out there kind of marketing to try to get as many churches as we can. We believe that God is already at work in our community, and God chooses to work through his people, through the body of Christ. And so we believe that by building relationships with different churches and organizations, whether we learn about them or they learn about us, it really starts with that dialogue, meeting together, connecting, and understanding how is God already at work through the body of Christ in our greater Hartford community, and then how might we be able to partner together to continue to cultivate that and build that up. So it really comes in all different ways. Sometimes we learn about a church that's happening. A lot of times we will learn about a program that's happening through our existing network. They will introduce another church or organization to us or introduce us to them. So it's really, for us, it's really about relationships, and that can start in a variety of ways.
Mm-hmm. Now, Russell, I'm looking over some of the initiatives you guys have, which is fantastic, by the way. When you start with something like basic needs, there are a lot of churches that have, who are trying to serve people who are, frankly, lacking food and clothing and housing. So how do you partner with them? And if we can, I'd love to talk about some of the initiatives, because it's so well thought out, and you guys just are doing such a great job. So if you would talk about how some of that works, I think that would be fascinating for the listeners.
Absolutely. So you mentioned basic needs, which is food, clothing, housing are huge needs in our community. And so our initiative to partner with churches and organizations around basic needs is called Beyond the Basics. And when we look across the landscape of our community, it's not hard to see those needs and to recognize the challenges of poverty and the challenges of just working to meet those basic needs. Most churches or organizations feel that tug, from the Lord to help our neighbors and to try to alleviate some of those immediate needs. But the challenge, that we see is that we really want to be able to walk with people over time to address some of the underlying challenges that they might have to getting enough food or clothing or adequate housing. So there's a sense in which many of the ministry programs in the community are responding in compassionate ways by providing food on the spot or providing clothes or trying to help people connect to shelter. But then not necessarily having the resources and the training and the opportunities to go deeper with people. And so part of our Beyond the Basics initiative is to equip those different food pantries and community meal programs and transitional living programs and help them strengthen what they're doing, but create new opportunities where they can have community resource coaches in place, for example, trained staff and volunteers to work with clients to identify some of the underlying challenges and barriers that they might be facing towards greater life stability, and then set some goals that they're interested in that can help them to overcome some of those barriers and ultimately Bill, to be in a place where they don't need to come to that food pantry or that community meal anymore. Mm-hmm. We want to help them gain greater life stability and partner together and walk together alongside our neighbors who may be struggling. And so many churches see those needs and they see people returning over and over again to those programs, but they face limitations themselves in terms of kind of the finance and the time and the capacity to be able to respond in a deeper way. And that's where Urban Alliance is able to come alongside as a partner, provide the training, provide some of the grant funding, some of the resources, supplies, and volunteers to help them build their capacity and in turn serve people in a deeper way.
Yeah, Russell, it just really sounds love thy neighbor as thyself. That sounds like you're just doing a comprehensive job. So how are you finding it possible and how are you building relationships past beyond just meeting people's immediate needs?
Well, churches and Christian organizations are already doing that in the community. Mm-hmm. As they're serving people and they're meeting felt needs. We're just coming alongside them to try to strengthen
Nice.
And equip them to do that even more comprehensively. And so one of the things that we even have in the training that we provide is around creating a culture of dignity and hospitality and a culture that's characterized by relationship as we exactly what you said, demonstrate the love of Christ through how we engage and how we build relationships. Sometimes it's even for us providing the space and the opportunity to bring different ministry programs together for them to be able to even start to kind of envision and think about, yeah, what would God have us do? What could we do to come alongside those that we're serving in a deeper way? And so they're the ones that are really out in the community day in and day out, building those relationships already. It's just providing the tools and the resources and some of the knowledge and some of the space to just to discern together how they can grow and take the next step in developing their ministry program, because they're already making the connections with folks that they're serving. We're just coming alongside and helping them build that out to make those relationships stronger and deeper and more robust.
Mm-hmm. My guest is Russell Jarvis. He's the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of Urban Alliance, and he and his team oversees all the organization's operations. I'm going to take a little break. When I come back, lots more with Russell. Welcome back to the show. I have as my guest Russell Jarvis. He is the Vice President and Chief Operating Officer of the Urban Alliance out in the Hartford area. And, Russell, I would love for you to share with the listeners just some impact stories, because those stick in people's minds and motivate people and inspire people.
Sure. Well, there's so many different stories. Last year, we provided support to 134 different programs in the community that are being run by churches and organizations in our network. So collectively, they were serving just over 130,000 people
Wow.
throughout the greater Hartford area. So the stories that they have are too many for me to recount, but
Sure.
some of the things that I think about are significant. And for anybody who's interested to read and to hear more of those stories, they're welcome to go to our website at urbanalliance.com, where we try to highlight and celebrate some of the stories of ways that God is working through our network as a whole and through the body of Christ. But some of the stories that stick out to me are, we have a church in Hartford, consistent with what we were just talking about basic needs. We have a number of churches that we're working with to develop stronger basic needs programs that can help people in deeper ways. But a church in particular in Hartford that had a program that began as a food pantry and a soup kitchen, but that over time was seeing some of the same people that were kind of coming back. And again, that longing, that desire to be able to connect with them in deeper ways. And so over time, we've been able to provide some of the training and the support where they have been able to offer other types of opportunities and support to the folks that they're serving, to not just provide food, but to think about nutrition, to think about healthy eating, and to be able to work with some of the folks that they serve. And then also, as I mentioned, to be able to provide some of that community resource coaching in place. So we've seen a variety of different programs that have been able to help people identify opportunities for different housing, or to get a new job, or to be able to manage their finances in a different way. One of the things that I'm excited about this year is some of our partnership to be able to provide work with basic needs programs and other kinds of programs to provide financial literacy workshops on site, working again with people around budgeting and managing their money. And also, as I mentioned, some of the healthy cooking and healthy diet and these other things that make the ministry more significant and more impactful for the people that are being served. So we see a number of different organizations that are and churches that are taking advantage of those opportunities, because they're the ones telling us these are some of the needs that they're seeing in the community. And so for us, it's exciting to be able to come alongside and provide those opportunities so they in turn can deepen their relationships with the people that they're serving.
Mm-hmm. Russell, if you would talk about just how important it is that the city, because, you know, we live in a world today where there's so much division and so much pain and suffering. But when you've got a city that's trying to pull together and serve each other, you've got a much healthier city, a place where people thrive and flourish. And it sounds like that's kind of, in a way, the heartbeat of the Urban Alliance. Do I have some of that right?
Absolutely. And you really said it earlier when you talked about, you know, something as simple as loving our neighbor as ourselves. I think when we think about at a macro level, some of the needs and the challenges, and certainly if you turn on the news regularly, it just sounds like everything, you know, is falling apart. But when we think about, when we break things down to an individual person level, we start to see ways that each of us as Christians can love and serve and help. And I think that's important because at the end of the day, we are called, and our desire at Urban Alliance is to see the Christian community living out Jesus' invitation to love our neighbors as ourselves. And I think if each of us think about our own families, we ensure that our families have the food and clothing and housing that they need. We ensure that our kids have education opportunities, and that our family has access to health services, and that we have opportunities to know Christ and to grow spiritually. And so it's easy to think about caring about those things for ourselves and our families, but recognizing that many of our neighbors may struggle to fulfill those needs, that can feel overwhelming when we think about our entire region. But when we do think about how many different churches and organizations there are and the opportunities that we can take individually to step out, to serve, to love other people, it becomes something that can be overwhelming to now something that God is inviting us into as an opportunity to put our faith in action. And so we believe that no one individual, no one church, no one organization, even Urban Alliance, is going to be able to do everything. But as collectively, as we are faithful as individuals and as churches and as the body of Christ to put the Lord's love in action, then we believe that it really is part of that kingdom vision of seeing God's kingdom manifested and getting a foretaste of that now through the flourishing of our communities and through loving our neighbors. So that is absolutely at the heartbeat.
Yeah. Well, Russell, you know, Jesus came to, he came for people. And if we serve people and love people and show them the love of Christ, I think we're doing what he wants us to do.
And I think that's so important. It's easy sometimes for people to think about serving others as, in the form of a service project or something that's kind of an event. But the challenge that I know that God has always spoken to my heart, and I think for us at Urban Alliance, the challenge is that's a lifestyle, not simply an event, not simply a job or a service opportunity, but a lifestyle for us as Christians to love and serve those around us.
Mm-hmm. I just really admire the work you're doing, Russell. I mean, this is really something that God has laid on your heart, obviously, and the Urban Alliance has really got their meat hooks in to what's important. I don't get to use the word meat hooks very often, but I'm seeing that you guys are really going after it in a really, very comprehensive way.
Bill, I appreciate the encouragement, but what's so encouraging to me is like I said a minute ago, that what we're talking about here is bigger than any single organization, including Urban Alliance. It's really a reflection of the body of Christ as a whole, a diverse Christian community across denominations, across races and cultures, across geographic locations, but coming together in the unity of Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit to do something greater than what any individual church or organization can do. And that's what I really love about the mission and the work that's taking place here, Bill, honestly, is to see God glorified through that and to recognize that this is something that's more than just Urban Alliance. This wouldn't happen without the collaboration and the relationships and all the great work that's being done by all these different churches and ministries in the community and these organizations. So we just want to be able to come alongside and partner together, because that's what God calls us to do. We are one body with many members, and each does its different part. Our part happens to be connecting and equipping and building stronger programs and resourcing, but it doesn't happen without the quality ministry that's taking place each day and each week by so many different volunteers and staff folks who are serving through programs in the community, through churches and organizations on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm. Russell, just about a minute left. I read in your bio you're a drummer. When did you get your first drum set?
Oh, goodness. Elementary school, I want to say maybe third grade or so.
Okay.
We had an old drum set in my grandma's basement that got dusted off, fixed up, and started banging around.
Yeah. And are your parents, are they hard of hearing today?
I sure hope not.
Well, I so appreciate you coming on the show. Russell, thank you so much for just giving us an update, and God bless you and the work you're doing.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. Russell Jarvis has been my guest from the Urban Alliance. We'll take a little break and be back with more in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I always feel like, because we broadcast in the upper Midwest, I don't feel as connected to some of my listeners in Hartford. So I always want to I want to get to know people in the Hartford area better. And I thought, well, there's no better way than to, A, go out to the area and say hi to people, and then also extend some invitations to meet some of the great pastors and leaders out in that area. I have on our studio line Reverend Jay Abramson, who is the senior pastor at the Valley Community Baptist Church. Jay, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be with you.
You know, now I know you've got some Minnesota roots, so
I do.
Tell us about that. You went to Bethel, didn't you?
I did. I got my master's in Christian education from Bethel on the long plan. I was full-time at a church in Burnsville at the time, pastor of Christian education at Faith Covenant. And I did attend Bethel, but grew up in South Minneapolis and have all kinds of roots, as we say, in Minnesota. Town.
Yeah. Now, I'm curious, Jay, where did you go to high school?
Minnehaha Academy.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Well, that's...
My mom was a PE teacher, girls PE, there for like 13 years.
Oh, fantastic. And now you are at the church you're at is in Avon. Do I have that right?
Avon, yep, just a bedroom community west of Hartford.
Yeah, and how many people are on your staff? And tell us a little bit about your church.
Yeah, we came out here in 1989. At the time, it was about 450 or 60 people. I came when there was no senior pastor. All my friends said, "You got to be nuts." but we just We just felt God was calling us here. My wife grew up in Connecticut. We met in college, and we're in ministry, obviously, in Minnesota for about 15 years doing different things. We ran a Bible camp in central Minnesota for a while, then in Burnsville. But we just felt God calling us this direction and made our way here. And the church, God has just blessed and been working overtime doing all kinds of stuff since 89. I eventually became senior pastor, God has just exploded a lot of things here. So we have about 1,100 people on weekend worship, but we meet in multiple places now and have planted a number of other churches in the area. So how many staff we have, I honestly don't know.
Yeah, I love that. I love that, Jay. You know, when you think of the upper Midwest, for some reason, I have something in my head that says, aren't we the good, hearty, you know, Bible-believing, you know, middle-of-America yep. kind of people? And then when you get out to the coast or you get east or west, you start to think that that tendency fades a little bit. Is that true or is that just in my imagination?
No, it is. There's some statistical background to that. 65% of people in New England grew up in a Catholic home or attending Catholic church as a family.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a form of spirituality, and I'm not one that says bad things about Catholics. We love our Catholic brothers and sisters.
Amen.
But the state itself of Connecticut, according to the Barna Group, did a study a number of years ago kind of measuring mostly evangelicals, which, by the way, pretty much eliminates people of Catholic faith. But we're tied for last place with the state of Washington on his measurement of evangelicals. So there aren't as many evangelical churches here, but I think this is what I've said to people is I grew up in Minnesota, 10,000 lakes. I grew up fishing with my dad and my brother, and we like to go fishing on lakes where there were only a couple boats, not 100 boats.
yeah.
out here, we got lakes with only a couple boats.
Yeah, so you're living the dream, aren't you, Jay?
Exactly.
Well, as I was on your website, and I'm such a big fan of good Bible teaching, and I know that that is what you do. And I was looking at your One Another series. I would just love for you to just kind of give our listeners a little bit of that series, if it's fresh enough in your mind.
We just moved from one biblical topic to another, and as we this past fall, we're just looking, and as a team, our staff team will get together and say, what do we think God is wanting to say to us, you know, at this point and this juncture of our ministry. It just seemed that the concepts throughout of the New Testament of us living out the commitments and the directives from Christ to live with one another in mind is kind of critical to the whole gospel reality. And so we spent 8 weeks just looking at the one another statements throughout the New Testament of what that can mean for us and in expressions of our faith in our life. One of the takeaways from that, though we had begun trying to practice this a year or so earlier, but it really refreshed with us this concept of our call to be a blessing and to bless people around us. Yes, Christians, but certainly those who are not yet Christ followers as well. And we actually got this idea from a Minnesota church, another Converge church, that we're part of the Converge movement of churches, Westwood, out west of the Twin Cities. Pastor Joel had, I don't know if he was original with him, but took the word bless and dropped out of it like an acronym of five statements that can help us relate to our neighbors, especially those who aren't yet Christ followers. So take the word, the letters B-L-E-S-S to mean begin with prayer. Can you just be praying for people around us as an initial step in blessing them? L is to listen. Rather than the first thing that we do is when we start a relationship to just talk, and
yeah.
listen and ask questions, as Jesus did. By the way, we're just doing finishing a series on all the questions Jesus asks. E is for eat. We're really good at that as Baptists. We love to eat and find we've called it a spiritual gift. So when you eat with someone, you also tend to slow down and you do a better job of listening and so on. So begin with prayer, listen, eat. Then the first S is to serve. If we've listened, we'll find out needs in a person's life, and then how might we serve them? How might we work to try to help meet that need? And the last S is to share our own story. If we've done the first four things, we'll probably hear that person's story, and they'll probably start asking, what about us? And that's when we have the chance to talk about who Jesus is in our life and so on. Rather than the first thing, it just makes its way in naturally.
Mm-hmm.
So we've challenged our people to live that way, and we're all learning how to do that.
Yeah.
That was a real takeaway from that whole series, too.
Yeah, but when you think about the gift of hospitality and the gift of encouraging one another, I mean, yeah. that to me should be something we are doing every day.
Yeah, it's really huge. And that very thing of hospitality, we've kind of let go of that. I mean, there's, you know, the food series on television of how to cook exotic foods and so on. But, you know, it really is, it's a command, especially of church leaders, that they need to have that practice. They need to have that skill in their life in order to just qualify as a leader. But, you know, that's a skill as much as a gift. It's something we need to learn to develop.
You know, go ahead, Jay.
No, that's just it. That's just a skill we need to develop.
Yeah. I mean, a simple reality it seems to be that when people come into your home to eat, your relationship with them is forever a little bit different, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, there's a whole kind of a new movement that we're actually, we have one of our staff members who was doing youth ministry with us for like more than a decade, is now working outside of our congregation here, developing another congregation that's really building off of this idea of missional community that you can find especially in a number of writings of some really creative leaders today. And the whole idea is that of, you know, our houses really can be a foundational place to be able to build relationships with people. And by just having them in, having a conversation around a meal, it's so disarming as opposed to confrontive.
Mm-hmm.
And we're finding great great success in building relationships with those who aren't yet followers of Christ that way.
Yeah. You know, Jay, it's something so intimate about inviting people into your living space. And
yeah.
I think if you can just drop the idea that your house has to be perfect and the food has to be perfect and everything has to be perfect, you're going to realize that it's way more enjoyable and it's very effective.
Yeah, it really is. When we first came here, there was a couple here who had that same basic kind of idea. They were focusing around doing a Bible study, but they eventually wrote a book about it. But it was a central part of this church's growth in the early decades of the 80s and 90s. The book they wrote was called Your Home, a Lighthouse. And the basic idea was just a couple of maybe Christian couples come together and say, invite every non-Christian you know to one of your houses for one night a month. It's not every week. It's just one night a month. You start with a meal, and then you just sit down and say, we're going to just take a look at some passage of Scripture, and they usually would start with the Gospel of John or something, and say, let's just see if any of this is relevant to our lives today. And then just begin in a conversation about it that way. And so it was so relational, again, around food. And out here, there's so many different ethnic groups. There's endless supply of great new recipes to put before people. And it's been there's amazing how many people eventually came to Christ. And the ground rules were, you can't talk about church. We're not going to talk about our church. If you go to church or grew up going to church, we're not going to talk about church. We're going to just talk about, what does this say? What does this book say about God, and can we have a relationship with him, and is there any relevance of any of this to our lives? Mm. And those conversations, God just used in incredible ways.
Yeah. Pastor Jay Abramson is my guest. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to continue our discussion with him. We'll be back in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. I've got on my studio line Pastor Jay Abramson. He is the senior pastor at Valley Community Baptist Church in Avon, Connecticut. And if you are a listener out in the Hartford area, you'd be listening to us on 94.1 FM or AM 1290. And Jay, I'm always curious to find out when your church family is together and you're talking to people and dealing with all the problems that are going on in the world, do you find that people are have increased levels of anxiousness and anxiety, or do you think that it's kind of business as usual?
No, I think it's definitely increased anxiety. Liz and I, my wife Liz, and I have pretty much stopped watching a lot of the news on television. It's just so upsetting, much of it. And instead of that, just try to build into people's lives. And if you just have conversations at our church now, we have two nights a week that we have open meals. So on Tuesday nights, when we have a lot of our children's programs and some family things, it begins with a meal that anyone can come to, and there's a small fee for that. But we end up feeding 150 people or so on that meal. And then on Saturday night after our worship service, we have another meal. And the reason for it is, it's one thing to come to a worship service or go to a teaching session, but if before or after you can just sit around a table and talk, mm-hmm. Things change. And it's we're finding even some people come to the meal and don't go to anything else. So I was sitting at a meal one night and talking to a person I hadn't met before, and we're going back and forth, and I'm asking him, you know, what he does and so on, and he tells me, and then he turns to me and says, and who are you, and what do you do? So I go, well, he obviously hasn't been to the worship service.
And, yeah.
But you
or
know
you
what?
Look really we're... different up close.
But we love that, and it's building off of, let's start a relationship and start a conversation that way. And you know what? We'll eventually get to the big issues. And they do come out. You know, the things that are anxious, that cause people to be anxious, whether it's relational, you know, things falling apart in their life or job issues, et cetera. And we do have the typical, you know, ministries, Celebrate Recovery and, you know, counseling and all those things as well. But in the end, and I've had some Christian counselors tell me that, you know, the statistics seem to show that the thing that helps people most in moving toward recovery is just a good friend.
Oh, right.
Yes, sometimes you need new information that only maybe a professional can give you, but just having a good friend who listens seems to correlate really highly with people being able to digest, you know, all of this stuff that's blowing at them at light speed.
You know, Jay, I was reading that one of the biggest problems for adults today is loneliness. So the fact that you want to be this loving, open, come and have a meal, stay if you like, get to know us, we're here for you, that's imitating Christ by opening up a door to friendship and just giving people a place to belong.
Yeah, it really is. And I think it's just something that, you know, God has been using that for centuries, really. I mean, we're sitting here, our location, actually, we're kind of epicenter of two great revivals in this country. You know, the first and second great awakenings happened really here at Connecticut River Valley. In any case, Jonathan Edwards and then his grandson, Timothy Dwight, were central to these things. And what is really interesting is I've done some reading about these things. Yes, there was usually great preaching and et cetera, but if you dig deeper, a lot of it came out of relationships. In fact, the Second Great Awakening, it started with teenagers. Hmm. I mean, they didn't have the term teenager back then. They were just young people. But I have a book that is the writings of the pastors of churches here in this area, Avon, Farmington, Canton. These are all towns right around us here. And I mean, it's like 25 different towns. If someone compiled the writings of pastors who were describing the Second Great Awakening, and almost all of them, it just started in someone's home. And in many cases, these young people just, the Holy Spirit just moved on their hearts. And yes, and it was convicting them of their sinfulness, and then they're showing up at the parsonage begging to say, what's wrong with the parents, saying, what's wrong with my son or daughter? And so it just was all steeped in the home, in many cases, of God just working through those relationships. And then when the breakthrough came, then there's automatically those surrounding the person who can help them and walk with them and disciple them.
That's beautiful. So, Jay, I know that there is a lot of listeners on 94.1 FM, and they're absolutely delighted to be hearing your voice, either because they know you or they're glad to hear that there's a pastor out there that they might have a church they want to go visit. So, yeah. For the listeners in your area, when is the service times for your church?
Yeah, we have on the weekends. We have a Saturday night worship service that starts at 5, and like I say, it always has a meal afterwards right here at our location on West Avon Road in Avon. On Sundays, we have actually four services in this same location, three in our sanctuary, one in a multipurpose room that we just have a video message in, but everything else live worship and so on. But then we have another location in Bristol that right now we have a site pastor there, Pastor Andrew, and he right now is preaching live because he's going through a series of things there. They meet in Green Hill School in Bristol. And then we have this other group that meets up in Simsbury that is doing the missional communities, which they really meet in and do worship often through three of the weeks of the month. They meet in their missional communities for mm-hmm. worship, which is very intimate and so on. And you can just call us here at the church to find out where those locations are. And that's Pastor Mark Wolf. That's the pastor of that group as well.
Yeah, Jay, we just got a couple minutes left. What is your prayer? What has been your prayer lately for your community?
Yeah, you know, our prayer is, God, do it again. you know, just pour out your Spirit in new ways. And He is working. We're seeing God work, and people are coming to Christ, old and young. We had a simple invitation in a worship service a couple of weeks ago, and about 10 or 12 people committed their lives to Christ, and half of them were children and teenagers. And so we see God working, but we just say, God, do it again. Just pour out your Spirit in ways that will transform our whole community. That's what we all need, is more of Him.
And then do you have an event coming up next week? Is there a concert coming up on the 22nd?
We do. It's toward the end of our World Outreach Week. We have a big emphasis on reaching beyond our culture. And so we're talking during this week, it starts on this weekend, of a theme of orality that's just talking about speaking the gospel as much as we write the gospel and send out printed things and so on. And at the end of the week, we're having a hip-hop group. This will be the first time for us on Friday night, and we're very excited about it. You can call the church for all the information about that as well.
And no doubt you'll be in the front row. Jay, thank you.
I will.
Thank you so much for coming and doing the show. Reverend Jay Abramson's been my guest, and his church is Valley Community Baptist Church. That's valleycommunity.cc. We'll take a short break and be back with more in just a minute. Wraps up our show. A big thanks to all of the guests who came on and were so awesome, as they always are. And a special thanks to Pastor Jay Abramson, who is living out in Avon, Connecticut. And who would have thought, but I'm going to be out there this weekend. I'm going to be in that area. And if any of you would be interested in stopping by, I'm going to be performing actually at the Nelson Hall Theater in Cheshire, Connecticut. And you go to the website at nelsonhallelampark.org. I'm going to be doing some emceeing for a awesome swing jazz group. It's going to be a lot of fun. That's all coming up this weekend for all of you listeners in the Hartford area. What a delight this show has been. I love it, and I love you. Thank you for listening, and thank you for supporting Faith Radio. Just remember, as you crawl into bed and pull the covers up and lay your head on that pillow, just remember God is absolutely writing his story in your life. So that wraps up our show. Have a great night, everyone, and God bless.